Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking, delivering expert support and tailored solutions to help your business grow with confidence, clarity, and resilience.
Now, it's not just a morning ritual or comfort in a cup. Tea is a mirror into South Africa's social and spending habits. Listen to this number, 22 million adults drinking it daily, particularly rooibos, and it's deeply woven, I would suggest, into the country's culture. But it's also a growing commercial force. There's new data out showing who's drinking what and where and why. So, as they say, let's spill the tea on what's brewing in local cups. I'm joined by Andrew Fulton, director at 8020, one of South Africa's leading consumer analytics firms. He's been on the program before and always is a mine of useful information. So, Andrew, welcome to you. Tea is clearly still a national favorite. As I mentioned, 22 million South Africans drinking it daily. What do you think it tells us about the beverage's place in our culture?
Yeah, thanks for having me on the show again, Jeremy. It's interesting. I mean, it's the most consumed beverage after water globally, which is quite a stat. I mean, we deal with a lot of stats, but they don't get better than that one. It is a massive piece of South African consumption. We look at, say, fizzy drinks. There's about 25 million that drink in the sort of past 7 days, but 20.6 million drinking tea daily. That's a big number. It's a big number. So a lot of consumption and a lot of interesting things to talk about there.
And a lot of that 22 million figure is involved in rooibos tea. What do you think makes it such a standout in both local identity, but also very successful in global export?
Yeah, I mean, so one of the reasons we do these pieces is we're trying to encourage companies to use data to better understand their markets and look at the trends and see what's happening. And one of the very definite trends that's happening globally, traditional tea is increasing only in sort of Latin America, Asia, and Africa, but in Europe and North America, traditional tea is declining in favor of these tisanes, which is what a rooibos is. So it's herbs that are steeped in water, and the demographic that's moving to these healthier options over tea, it's younger people, it's married people, it's educated people, it's wealthier people. So it's very important for a grocer or for a producer to kind of be aware of these trends.
Is there a demographic difference, I wonder, between your traditional rooibos drinker and people who are now embracing green tea? I'm assuming the latter would probably be a younger cohort.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, so if you look at the rooibos tea consumption, I mean, there's always two metrics we use. Like, there's the overall consumption and whether it's indexed, which means, is it more people than you would expect given the distribution of the population? And we do notice that the over-indexing for rooibos is people aged 65 plus. It's also sort of, like baby boomers and pre-boomers sort of KZN, Free State, and Limpopo is where we see an over-index of rooibos consumption. Whereas, as you said, yeah, green tea is younger, wealthier, more educated.
So there's a lot of segmentation now as far as the category is concerned. Brands themselves that manufacture and market these products, how are they using the current insights, do you think?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm hoping they are. I mean, we just did a brief look at sort of the top brands, and we didn't get into a deeper brand analysis because, we're doing just a general view of the market, not kind of a company piece of work. But Joko and Glen are the two biggest in traditional teas. The number one for fresh pack, number one for rooibos is fresh pack. And interesting for me, I was surprised. Five Roses is the second biggest rooibos brand.
So from a retail perspective, Andrew, I think it's safe to say that the so-called tea aisle in a supermarket is becoming more crowded. It's becoming a lot more interesting. But there would also surely be a spillover, if you'll excuse the pun, impact on complementary products that are aligned to the tea product itself, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the things we did find interesting was looking at the sort of Venn diagrams of who drinks rooibos green traditional tea. And we looked at, as I mentioned, fizzy drinks, and half of tea consumers also do a daily cup of coffee. So it seems like those two are quite interchangeable. The interesting thing for me, though, was one of the big complementary ones is sugar. And we looked at how South Africans consume sugar. On average, they consume 4.2 teaspoons of sugar in their tea, coffee, your cereal in a day. And that was over-indexed for colored people, Afrikaans-speaking people in the Western Cape and the Free State, which is interesting because whenever I've had tea or coffee with some of my black friends, I mean, I often get shocked at the 4 or 5 spoons of sugar they put in. But the data shows that it's colored and Afrikaans-speaking people.
How many spoons of sugar do you have, sir?
I try to keep it one. I'm watching my cholesterol and my height.
Do you think that sugar consumption stat is interesting? Do you think it impacts on how tea is marketed?
I'm not too sure. It's a really good question. I mean, you know, there's once again these health benefits. It's we see changes overall. I mean, there's now you can put stevia and all sorts of other things in your morning brew, whatever it's going to be. I couldn't shed much light on that. Sorry.
If you were to look at the data that you've collected, are you able to extrapolate a broader outlook for the tea market in the future? It's obviously one that's very healthy.
Yeah, I mean, I think with everything, it just seems like across every category, whether it's meat consumption, whether it's carbohydrates, whether it's sugar, tea, fizzy drinks, people are looking for more healthy alternatives where they can afford them. I mean, I think that's the real tragedy of South Africa is a lot of people just can't afford to buy healthy food. But yeah, I would say there's definitely in those wealthier markets, there's going to be more of a shift to green tea. And hopefully rooibos, you know, if it markets itself as that the health product that it is, I mean, there's lots of health benefits to rooibos, then they could really ride that wave.
So many interesting demographic divides as far as tea is concerned. Do you think it's unique to that particular product, or do you think it also would maybe exist in things like coffee, fizzy drinks, or even the consumption of alcohol? Or do you think tea itself is uniquely telling?
You know, we've done this with coffee and alcohol, and it also does have some interesting demographics, certainly in terms of age. And so we did an interesting piece on alcohol and what activities people do. You know, bird watchers are more inclined to drink cane and et cetera. But yeah, I mean, I think that's the next thing about doing market research is really understanding those niche markets, those demographics that are really driven. And some of them are very obvious. You know, I mean, tea is over-indexed for women, Indian people, Asian people, for all types of tea. And that's kind of as you would expect. It's a stereotypical tea drinker. But yeah, there are great niches to look at and explore and create revenue out of.
Yeah, Andrew, do you hear that noise in the background? That's the kettle whistling. So time for me to say goodbye.
Thanks a lot, Jeremy.
Appreciate your time. We'll talk again, I'm sure. Andrew Fulton, director at 8020. It's one of the country's leading consumer analytics firms.
Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking.